Okay, so I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. So Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So I wanted to talk to us about this passage today, because I want to focus in on questions. As you know, I'm a teacher, and therefore I've spent my entire career saying there's no such thing as a stupid question. And then I had toddlers, and the why question is enough to drive you to distraction. But I still believe that questions are such a good thing. And this Bible passage really demonstrates some of the questions that Jesus asked. We love questions in my house. So much so that my husband and I play a little game, which I don't know how on earth we started it. It's a very annoying game. And it's the why game. So I'm going to give you an example, because all of our why games end with God. Most of the time, why games, when you play them with children, end with "because I said so." And so we've changed it to "because of God." So we went to the Hoe yesterday, so it might go a little something like this. We're going to Hoe this afternoon, Westward Hoe this afternoon. Why? To get ice cream. Why? Because I like ice cream. Why? Because my taste buds interpret the flavour of ice cream as nice. Why? Because that is what they are designed to do. Why? Because that is how God created us. No matter what question you start with, I can promise you, you can get to God as the answer. And my husband has tested me multiple times to see if that is true. And it always is. Because questions really give us the answer to a lot of what is happening in life. And it is the foundation of a majority of what we do. And it seems that Jesus likes questions just about as much as I do. In the four Gospels, Jesus is recorded as being asked 183 questions. That is a lot of questions to be asked within that. But even more, he asked 305 questions within those Gospels, which just demonstrates actually how important it is that we have questions as part of the foundation of our life. So what is the significance of those questions? That's just a little something of what I want us to be thinking about today. What is the significance of those questions? Why is it that teachers love them quite so much? Well, there are some questions that are going to stop you in your tracks and make you rethink everything, or secretly wish that they'd been asked to someone else, almost certainly asked by a young person, those questions that you wish you would never have to answer. But Jesus asked his disciples a question that he probably already knew the answer to. Who do people say I am? Jesus was with the people. He wasn't some distant guy hidden away in a palace where the people were out here. He was with the crowds all the time, every day. So he probably already knew the answer to the question, who do they say I am? He would have heard the whispers. He would have heard the questions that were going on. He would have heard the remarks of people when miracles were performed. But Jesus still asked that question of his disciples. Who do people say I am? And maybe that was to gain information. But I think it was probably more likely that actually once the answer had come, It's because he wanted to ask his follow-up question. So the answer was a relatively simple one. The disciples could do that with some confidence. Yeah, we know who people say you are, Jesus. They say that maybe, definitely you're a prophet, but maybe you're one of the old prophets who's come back. So maybe you're Elijah, maybe you're John the Baptist, maybe you're Jeremiah. That was the easy part of the question, because then Jesus made it personal. Okay, that's great. That's what other people say, who they say I am. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And this was more than just a question of, do you know who I am? This was a question that was actually asking, why are you following me? Why have you left everything you know? What do you think you are part of? It's a bigger question than it at first sounded, because the answer was not just, you're Jesus of Nazareth. The answer was much more than that. And whilst it wasn't a test, I can almost certainly guarantee that the disciples would have felt like it was. Like that question of, did anyone eat the last Rolo? Not a test, but definitely the answer you don't want to be giving is yes to it. And actually, I don't believe that this question is any different to the question that we have to answer as well. Although Jesus isn't standing before us today saying in an audible voice, who do you say I am? The Bible in 1 Peter 3:16 does instruct us to be exactly ready for that question, because it says that we should at all moments be prepared to explain the hope that we have. Well, isn't that the same? Jesus was asking his disciples, who do you say I am? Why have you left? Why have you followed me? Why have you put your faith in me? And the Bible tells us that each one of us who knows God needs to be prepared to answer exactly the same. Why do you put your hope in Christ? Why do you act in the way that the Bible instructs us to? Why do you care for others? Why do you serve others? And it is definitely a question that we are asked at Wings. Why are you here, especially in the winter? And so the good news is that it isn't really a quiz. And we can see that by how Jesus responded. So Peter answered in exactly the way that we would hope that Peter would answer, recognising that Jesus was the Messiah. But Jesus' response tells us that actually that was less about Jesus and more about God. So it's not really Peter's accomplishment. Jesus says, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but rather by my Father in heaven. It wasn't Peter's work. It was God's work. And so whilst the waiting for that question might at times feel nerve-wracking, uncertain, a little bit like maybe we want to be running in the other direction, especially if you're trying to do something else at the time, at the same point, what Jesus reminds us is that it's not all on us. And sometimes that is just the best reassurance that we could ever have. Because at some point, I'm hoping that each of us will be inspired by that question. That at some point, someone might say, but why? Why do you act in the way that you do? Why do you care in the way that you do? Why do you live in the way that you do? And what a wonderful compliment to us when they do. Because that gives us the opportunity to demonstrate that it is not us, but it is God. One of my students said this exact same thing to me just a few months ago, which inspired me to look at this passage, because we were sat in the garden. He was having a really bad day and he couldn't get into class. And so I was sat with him in the garden and we were just chatting about our lives and what I did at the weekend. And I told him that I was at church. It was leading kids' church at the time. And I told him about the games that we played and all the other things. And he looked at me and he was like, well, that makes sense. So, okay, cool, great. Something I've said made sense. It's a good day. What made sense? And he was like, there's got to be a reason why you do what you do. No one could possibly be patient or kind if they didn't have a reason. And that to me is the truth of exactly what our lives look like to others, which we so often cannot see. And it's so beautiful when someone reveals it to you. You couldn't be this patient or kind if you did not have a reason. And I can promise you, I'm not always patient or always kind. But what my students saw in me and my team, and what we're hoping that the people who come to us see, and what I hope that the people who meet you see, is something different. To ask the question exactly the same as Jesus did, who do you say I am? Or why do you do what you do? And that is a question that can come to each and every one of us. And I am so grateful for the fact that my student managed to see it without me really having to answer, that he could see something in my life and the life of all the staff that demonstrates why that is there. So my challenge to you, and my thing that I will leave you with, is to have a heart that cares. It can sometimes take a lot, and it can sometimes be really simple. But a heart that cares leads the way to Jesus, to those who can then have the opportunity to ask that question of, who is Jesus and why do you care? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word that demonstrates so much to us, that demonstrates more than just stories, but also demonstrates the way in which we can live. And God, I pray for us all that we might be able and ready to demonstrate who you are to others. Lord, I thank you for when we have the opportunity to show that in words. And God, I thank you more when we have the opportunity to show that through our actions and through our lives. God, I pray that you would give us all the strength to keep going, the ability to point towards you even when we're tired. And that, God, those around us might begin to ask that question of why, so that we can point towards you. Amen. We're going to sing our next song.